Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
We want to talk about an associated issue because yesterday the HSE released figures that up to 2,000 people with cancer may have been lost in the system as a result of disruption to health services because of COVID-19. And I'm joined now by Professor Risthard Olida, who's Director of Cancer Control Programme at the HSE. You're very welcome. Thank you for coming in today. And I know there was a lot of interest in your presentation yesterday. Will you explain to us the story behind that number, that you believe that 2,000 cancers may have been lost in the system because of the pandemic?
Yeah, I suppose, first of all, just to say that we know that the COVID pandemic has had a significant impact on cancer services and cancer patients in Ireland since it started in March. This is not unique to Ireland. This has happened all over Europe, and agencies such as the European Cancer Agency have recognised the impact on cancer services of COVID. Many of the European countries, like ourselves, are looking at their data to see this impact. And Dr. Louise Burke in the Faculty of Pathology here in the RCPI has convened a group, and we're looking at our data with the data from the National Quality Improvement Programmes and also with the collaboration of Professor Mark Lawler from Queen's University Belfast, looking at the situation in Ireland.
So do you feel now that you have a clear picture of the impact on services and the impact on people of the pandemic?
Yeah, so there will be a report coming out shortly on that, which will be published shortly. I think it's important to say as well that the cancer services were prioritised initially by the HSE on the advice of NPHET and the government, and cancer services have continued right throughout the pandemic. Now, I suppose when we looked at our numbers, we saw that there was a significant drop in referrals, and that really bottomed out in March when it went from down to 64%, and it recovered, and the year-to-date referrals are actually above normal for this year.
So just to explain to people, the rapid access clinics, they were open right throughout, were they?
They were open right throughout.
But it was the number of people who were attending, who were, exactly, as you say, referred from their GPs and other places. That was where the drop happened.
That's right. And the rapid access clinics and the urgent breast clinic, their numbers dropped to 63% in April, and now they're at about 90% year-to-date numbers. Okay. So there has been a significant recovery which has taken place really over the summer and into the autumn.
And how do you explain that drop? I mean, was it because people were afraid to attend?
Well, that would have been one of the elements, was that people may have been afraid and they were anxious. Also, there was protocols in place at the time. There was a lockdown. The government prioritised COVID services. We didn't know what was going to happen with the pandemic in March, April. But at all stages, acute and time-sensitive surgeries and treatments were done, albeit in a modified manner, taking to make sure patients were safe.
Mm-hmm. So are there people out there who may have had cancers growing, who were afraid to attend their GPs, or who did attend their GPs and maybe didn't go on then to attend the referral appointment?
Well, I suppose we don't know of specific cases, but what we can say is that the number of cancers diagnosed at its low point was about 52% of the figures for last year. And again, that has shown a recovery. And it's gone up to 90%. And so year-to-date, cancer diagnosis at about 90%.
There
has been a catch-up. And say to the end of August, we would have a gap between 2019 and 2020 of 378 patients. So that's about 10% in that cohort of clinics. Now, the figure of 2,000 really is really just a crude mathematical exercise, and it's just an abstraction looking at the number of cases of cancer that are in the country and abstracting the percentage we have from the rapid access to that. Now, obviously, there are lots of caveats to that figure, and it's a figure really which is a ballpark figure. And we are hoping that figure will reduce, actually, because from August to the end of the year, we have the last third of the year, and we are seeing the cancer numbers, the referrals going up, the attendance at clinics going up, the cancer diagnosis numbers going up, screening has opened up. So these should increase the cancer numbers for us.
Okay. And there was a suspension of screening during
the
lockdown.
There was a suspension of screening, yeah.
And that is back in all cases now?
That's back, yeah. It's back for bowel, breast and cervix.
I mean, you will know that the people who argued against lockdown, one of their arguments in some cases certainly was that cancers would be missed because of the lockdown?
Yeah, well, I suppose the term missed is a term I'm not comfortable with, because missed, I suppose, in the Irish context, is about people seeing a cancer patient and not seeing the diagnosis. These are about cases that haven't actually turned up left. They're called missing cancers in the UK. We call them lost cancers. And that's what's, as I say, it's happened in all jurisdictions. I think the importance actually of raising this issue is really to reassure patients that they can actually come to the clinics, that the clinics are open, they can come to their GP, and any patient who has significant symptoms like a breast lump or who's coughing up blood or who has any sinister symptoms at all, they should really attend their GP and get referred to the clinics.
And all of the services are there and they're available to them.
I suppose it's important to say as well that the services, running the services, is actually difficult because they were probably stretched pre-COVID. And on top of that, we're asking our staff who have done tremendous work, really, working in a COVID environment where they're trying keeping patients safe, keeping themselves safe. And that's critically important so that we can keep the clinics active. And to do that, I suppose, we have to maximise our capacity in the units. And we're fortunate that we've got significant funding from the Department of Health this year and the government to help with the winter pandemic funding and the cancer strategy funding to help us to provide resilience to these clinics, which is absolutely important to keep them going.
What were the services that were worst affected by the first lockdown?
Within cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the one that was slowest to recovery, I would say, was the prostate, and that's where we're the prostate rapid access services. And they I suppose that was, it's difficult to know why that was. One of the reasons, I suppose, was that the biopsies of prostates were considered a risky procedure internationally and they were suspended for a while. The other was that it tends to occur in an older population who were probably more careful about coming to the clinics. And so we've seen actually in our figures that the actual increase and the return really for that group of patients is the slowest.
So that's the area where you would have particular concern. Is it prostate cancer?
Well, I suppose we have to look at the, I suppose it depends on the cancer you're talking about, because some of the cancers, some, for example, lung cancer, a minor delay in lung cancer or a small delay can have a more significant effect than something like cancer. The age of the patient is very important as well. So we don't really know what the...
So lung cancer is a fast progressing cancer,
exactly.
Whereas prostate,
well,
not
some,
so much.
Some prostate cancers, and particularly in older patients, are not as rapidly progressive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different impact really depending on the type of cancer you're talking about, and also depending upon the age of the patient. So I suppose what we've tried to do is maximise the capacity of the system, encourage patients to come, and hopefully we'll get those figures back.
What happens though if, as many people expect, including the Taoiseach who mentioned this, we go into another period of lockdown early in 2021? Could this happen again?
Well, the interesting thing, I suppose, is in some ways that we've had a second wave, and the impact of the second wave on our cancer services has not been nearly as significant, in the sense that our numbers of referrals continue to grow and our number of patients attending through this pandemic, second pandemic wave, have increased. So I think we know a lot more about COVID-19 now. We know better how to treat COVID-19. We have put our COVID and non-COVID pathways in place within the hospital systems, within the cancer centres, and we have tried to build resilience into the system with new ways of working, using IT and virtual MDTs, virtual clinics, maximising treatment outside the hospital setting in chemotherapy, separating cancer patients from the from high risk areas. So we've done a lot.
Just on that, you mentioned chemotherapy. What figures do you have for how chemotherapy, radiation, surgical oncology, how are all those things affected?
Yeah, well, they were also affected. I suppose for chemotherapy, it kind of dropped at its lowest to 67% really of what we would have seen last year, but it's now up to 85%. But there's an inherent capacity issue when we're dealing with this, because the social distancing within the units, the infection prevention and control measures that have to take place within the chemotherapy units have reduced its capacity. So we have to look at doing infrastructural changes to increase their capacity. I think it's a testament really to the people working in those units that there was none of the chemotherapy units closed down during the closed. Some of them had to move location, but none of them closed down throughout the pandemic, and even while dealing with a very vulnerable group of patients, and that kind of the measures they put in, like calling patients beforehand, pre-screening the patients, testing them where necessary, isolating patients with low blood counts, this is that has had a that has meant that really none of the units have closed down. And I suppose that brings me really to the key, if you like, Achilles heel of the services. And the key Achilles heel of the services really is the community transmission of COVID. Because if there is significant community transmission of COVID, then that occurs, that also occurs in the hospital and it occurs in patients.
Mm. Well, you must be very worried then, given what we're hearing this morning about opening up restaurants and household visits and all of that.
I suppose I'm not a public health expert, yep, and I certainly would be listening to Neffet's advice also. Mm-hmm.
Which is to keep the hospitality sector closed. But I mean, given what you're saying, yeah, and this is extremely serious for people, yeah, that those services are maintained.
Absolutely. For cancer patients, yeah, they are maintained. So I suppose, like everything, it's a risk balance, and these decisions have to be made by the government and by NPHET. But we have, right throughout the period, even throughout the previous lockdown, we kept the services open. Radiation was protected in some senses because the radiation units are separate from the hospital units themselves, and so the radiation...
They were operating in the way that they needed to anyway.
Exactly. I suppose it allows us to look at long-term plans as well, to look on how the model of care we deliver for chemotherapy, should they be outside hospital sectors? Should we have more community delivery of this care? So really, I suppose COVID is giving us a chance as well to look at innovative ways of increasing capacity and putting
the structure of the system
in the appropriate place.
And just to finish, what do you see, or can you tell what the potential impact on the health service will be of those lost cases that you have extrapolated from the figures that you have to date?
Yeah, well, as I say, the lost cases, it's a variable figure, and we're hoping that the number will go down, as I say, in the next 3 to 4 months. And these people will turn up in the system. I suppose, as you say, because, for example, we dealt with the breast patients that were cancelled in May, April. We dealt with them in August, September. So you're talking about delays in some cases of diagnosis and of treatment. But the impact of that delay is very difficult for us to say, because we won't know that until we get the cancer registry figures and see what the staging is and whether any of these cancers were upstaged. And so when we compare this year to the previous years, are there more higher stage lung cancers, for example, than in previous years? So we won't know that until we get those figures.
Okay, Professor Oliva, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.